The following message is copyrighted by Westminster Theological Seminary. Duplication, distribution, or other use of all or any part of this message is not permitted without prior written consent. Please direct your inquiries to communications@wts.edu. For all other information, please visit the main website at www.wts.edu.
What I want to speak on this morning is from one of the bedrock passages of the Bible. I want to tease out some of its implications, walk them out for us. The passage is Hebrews 4, verses 12 and following. Listen along with me as I read. God's word is alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating deeply enough to split soul and spirit and joints and marrow in two. It judges the thoughts, the intentions of the heart. And before him no creature can hide, but all are naked, laid bare, but the eyes of him with whom we must give an account. Hebrews 4, 12 and 13. Very simple things being said here. What is the Word of God like? One, it is alive. It is living, because God himself is speaking it. Two, it is active. It's effective. It's doing something. It's at work. At work doing things. What does it do? Well, it cuts. It's sharper than a sword, piercing, laying things bare. Now, I usually think about swords, and I've seen too many old movies where in sword fights they hack. And this is not hacking type swords, is it? This is sticking. This just slides right in and lays it open, lays it bare. What does it lay bare? Well, the Word of God lays bare for the desires and the thoughts of the human heart, for the purpose that those things might be judged. They might be discerned, weighed, evaluated, laid bare, looked at. There it is on the table, sliced open. What's going on here? Desires, the intentions, the purposes, the feelings, the thoughts of the human heart. All laid bare before whom? Before God, the God of the Word, the God with whom we have to do. Everything's laid open, everything's seen. And it's seen for it to be authoritatively evaluated, scrutinized, evaluated. Now, that's simple enough. Pretty basic truth. You're laid open. You're weighed. Every single person you talk to, every single person you counsel, you listen to, you work with, you preach to, you teach, every one of us laid open and weighed. God sees, God weighs. Simple enough truth, isn't it? Now, you know, in one sense, not simple enough. It's the fear of God, and we all end up being fools as often as wise. We forget it. But we're going to take that as the given, and then we're going to take that as a given and then look at some other things about that, some of the implications. Consider this with me. Consider this. How is it that people in our culture, people in our time, perhaps us, how do we tend to present ourselves to others? How do we present ourselves to ourselves? I want to examine some of the language of daily life, some of the ways people everywhere talk. Maybe it's the way you talk. It's certainly the way that many of the people that you speak with, that they are going to talk, the way they present themselves. Listen to this as an example. I feel hurt. And I feel hurt because someone, maybe it's you, my husband, my wife, my boyfriend, someone, you have wronged me. I feel you've wronged me. And I don't feel like going to talk to you. Instead, I feel like avoiding you. I feel like leaving you. Because I feel that you won't listen to me anyway. And I feel justified in the anger that I feel. And I don't feel the Bible applies to our particular conflict. In fact, I don't feel like reading the Bible. And I don't feel like sticking around with you, because I don't feel our relationship will work, because I've lost all feelings of affection for you. Now, yeah, maybe I've exaggerated a little, but have you ever heard a person talk like that? I don't think it's only counselor types that hear people talk like this all the time, week in, week out. I feel. That word creates a fuzzy cloud of potent authority around a dozen dubious statements. It's tough to argue with it. But people, we present ourselves, people in our culture present themselves in terms of their feelings as though these things are beyond authoritative evaluation. Why are they beyond? They're beyond because they are the authoritative evaluation. They are authoritative. They rule our lives. The Word of God, it pierces, it slices, it lays it bare. Those thoughts, intentions, feelings, desires, wants, lays it bare. Let's cut it open. Let's drag those feelings out into the light. Let's look at them. In that paragraph that I read, that little story, there are at least four discrete uses of the word feeling, each of them with its problems. Stick with me in this. First use, I feel is used to communicate sense impressions, sense perception, experience. Now, at one level, some of this is the least ambiguous and problematic of all. If I'm cutting an apple and I slice my finger, I feel pain. Now, that's about the closest thing to a brute fact that you can find on the face of the earth. I simply feel it. I experience it. It's unambiguous. And people can experience stuff that happens interpersonally. Now, that little story I told, if somebody spoke to me and said what the Bible calls words like sword thrusts or words that are like rotten food, I will feel some kind of pain and misery. That's a given. There's going to be some kind of sense experience of pain, upset, misery, whatever. And so here, this conversation, I feel hurt. I feel hurt. I feel hurt because I feel you wronged me. And the minute you say that, though, you start to realize that even in terms of sense experience, there's some ambiguities, there's some complexities that come in there. Did you wrong me? Did you? Or did you simply run afoul of my expectations? And I feel hurt because you didn't do what I wanted. You let me down in some way. Or was it some of both? That's probably the most typical thing that we run into. People have been treated rotten, but we've also wanted all kinds of things. People have run afoul of those desires. People present themselves, we present our experience as though it's an authoritative experience, a given. And the Word of God says, no, it's ambiguous. It's not, experience is not brute. Experience is something that's meant to be evaluated. Now, that use of the word is actually the simplest. It's the most straightforward. The other uses get progressively more complicated. Second use, I feel is used to present and express emotions. I feel angry. I feel angry because of all these things that you did to me. Now, in one sense, this use is again valid. It's indeed true that anger is something that is passively sensed. You might say that it's like use number one. It's a sense impression, only I'm experiencing some kind of internal state. I feel anger. That's part of anger. But here's where the plot thickens. Anger, like all emotions, is something that the whole person does. It's something I do. It has to do with things I think, things I want, attitudes I take. It has words. It has deeds. It's a lot more than just simply a feeling. And people present anger, other emotions, as though they were authoritative emotions. I am angry. If it's just a feeling that happens to me, it is an intrinsic given. It's just legitimate. But if anger, if emotion in general is not a given, if it's something to take anger that's evaluated by the Word of God, then that sword has to go in there, lay it open. Is the anger justified or unjustified? Is it wrongly expressed or rightly expressed? Many other ways that the scriptures lay bare that emotion that in our culture, the language of feeling presents as an authoritative given. In all likelihood, anger's not going to be something that I just acknowledge and then validate. It's going to be something I acknowledge in order to examine. In all likelihood, I'm usually going to have to change the way that I express it, and perhaps even cut out the causes of it out of a warm-making heart. Second use, we've got experience, we've got emotion. There's a third use in there, and the third and fourth uses are pure complexity. Third use is the language of I feel communicates thoughts, beliefs, opinions, worldview. So you heard in that paragraph I read, I feel that you wronged me. It's a belief, isn't it? I feel that you won't listen. I feel justified in my attitude. I don't feel the Bible applies. You see, in all these, what the language is communicated is things I think, things I believe. Essentially, thoughts, ideas, and beliefs are represented by people just on the street as though they are intrinsically valid if they are deeply felt. We live as though our feel that's, I feel that this is so, is an authoritative conviction, an authoritative opinion, an authoritative belief. And it seems to me that, again, the scriptures come in and say, wait a minute here. Feel that's are meant to be examined. Feel that's always need to be rephrased. What opinions are there? What beliefs are there? How do we evaluate it? How do we understand it in the light of the truth? And the Bible has these very devastating things to say about people who, what's the way it puts it, who lean on their own understanding. Or the man who trusts his own mind is a fool. Or it's the fool that delights in airing his opinion, his feelings, the things he feels that. The feeling of being cut with a paring knife is authoritative, isn't it? The fact that I feel that something is so is highly debatable. We've got to look at it. Fourth use, again, one of the most ominous ones. I feel is used to communicate my desires. I don't feel like going to talk to you. I feel like leaving and avoiding you. I don't feel like reading the Bible. This use, what's going on in there when you take the language apart? It's saying, I want, I don't want, I will. It's essentially as though I'm presenting authoritative impulses to the world. Authoritative impulses. And if these feel that's that we mentioned a minute ago are things that I live as though they're true, my feel like doing something, I live as though they're right. They become the basis of action. They become the things that I will do or won't do. And yet again, as we stand back from that biblically, as we stick the sword in, far from being givens to obey, these are things to be examined. The words I feel like typically obscure our responsibility for our desires. And as the Bible talks about those desires, usually our feel-likes are the desires of the flesh. And usually, almost inevitably, our felt needs, the things we feel like we need, are idolatrous desires. They're meant to be killed, not indulged. And the scripture does these radical things. One little word, I feel, and yet in the culture in which we're called to live, we're called to counsel, we're called to preach, we're called to talk to people, listen to people, gets used to communicate four very different things, some relatively straightforward, the more they're towards experience, but even there, ambiguities and complexities working in. The others, thinking and desires, extremely complex, extremely debatable. Now we have a promise here in the Word. The Word of God, it's alive, it's active, it's cutting to these exact sorts of things. You able to think your way through essentially the traps, the tar babies that language and the way people present themselves and their life experience to you. Can you think your way through that? Can you think your way through to the way that people's feelings typically reveal these authoritative experiences, these authoritative emotions, these authoritative opinions, these authoritative impulses that rule their lives, that are treated as givens? Can you pierce it and cut through to it? Now, what must you do? Two things. First is you must do apologetics daily. This is apologetics we're talking about. We're talking about a contrary authority source, aren't we? We have a God who authoritatively evaluates, and we have people all through life authoritatively evaluating. And it's an alternative system, an alternative base. You've got to do apologetics daily, on your feet, on the street, out of your own heart, places you, everywhere you go, taking apart the authorities, these would-be authorities that present themselves. Catch what you're saying. Catch what people are saying. Listen to it. I've picked out one strand that's just such, because it's a glaring strand, the I feel strand. Take it apart. It's one of the authorities of our age. In fact, I think we could probably make contemporary language, the Hebrews 4:12, that the Word of God judges the feel likes and feel that's of the human heart. Lays them bare, makes us look at them, takes them apart. And then the second thing, that apologetics, that attack, that laying it apart, the second thing is, once we've taken them apart, what do we do with them? Well, we've got to take these presumed authorities to the Lord who really is the judge and the Savior. And 4:13 lays out lays us naked for the eyes of him to whom we must give account. And then 4:14 through 16, I'm not going to read it, but it talks there about our high priest. It talks about the one to whom we go. It talks about the one who, yes, he had human experience. He lived through the trials. He lived through the difficulties. He was sinned against. He experienced pain. He was tempted in every way like as we are. And he was without sin. And he's the one that we may take, as it says there, to receive mercy grace to help us in our time of need, to take these things to the Lord himself. Basic stuff, apologetics on our feet, apologetics on the street, apologetics even in tackling our own hearts.